You've done the hard work. The route is planned. The sectional is folded the right way, which alone deserves credit. Weight and balance checks out. Fuel is accounted for, and you just finished a standard briefing with flight service. The destination is reporting clear and a million. Wines aloft look manageable, and right there in the middle of the briefing, sitting between the pilot reports and the prog charts, is something that reads like alphabet soup. AR Met Sierra, valid until 1800 Zulu, covering portions of your route area. A lot of student pilots stare at that for a second, then keep moving after all. The sky looks good, visual flight rules or VFR, all the way, right? That's the trap. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about AR Met Sierra, what it actually means, what it's telling you about the air you're about to fly through, and why reading past it has ended a lot of cross countries in uncomfortable places. Before we get into Sierra specifically, let's make sure we're starting from the same place. An Airman's Meteorological Advisory. What we call an AR Met is a weather advisory issued by the Aviation Weather Center for conditions that are significant to lighter aircraft. Think light single-engine piston. Think your Cessna 172 or your Piper Cherokee. Conditions that might not stop an airliner, but that absolutely matter to you. Air Mets come in three flavors. Sierra covers instrument flight rules, or IFR, conditions and mountain obscuration. Tango covers turbulence, sustained surface winds, and low-level wind shear. Zulu covers icing and freezing levels. Today, we're focused on Sierra, because Sierra is the one that VFR pilots consistently underestimate. When the Aviation Weather Center issues an AR Met Sierra, they are telling you that some portion of airspace is experiencing, or expected to experience, ceilings below 1,000 feet or visibilities below 3 statute miles, or both. Mountain obscuration is included in Sierra as well, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. Now 1,000 feet and 3 miles. Those are IFR conditions. That's the threshold. When the ceiling drops below 1,000 feet and visibility falls below 3 miles, you're operating in an environment that legally requires an instrument clearance to fly in the clouds. But here is what students miss. You do not have to be in the clouds for Sierra to matter to you. Let me shout out our friends at AviationSoul.com right here, because they make something that I think every pilot on this journey should have. Challenge coins for every milestone along the way. First solo, private pilot certificate. Instrument rating, commercial. They have got them all. And if you have been grinding through weather briefings and cross-country planning and all the hard parts of this training, let me tell you, earning that first coin feels good. AviationSoul.com. Back to Sierra. Think about what ceilings below 1,000 feet actually look like from the ground. You can take off, climb, and run right into the base of that layer before you have even reached pattern altitude at some fields. A ceiling of 800 feet over rolling terrain is not just uncomfortable, it is a navigational trap. Roads and rivers disappear into the mist. Your landmarks stop making sense. And the terrain, which looked perfectly manageable on your sectional, is suddenly a lot closer than your chart suggested. 3 miles visibility is the other piece. 3 miles sounds like a lot until you're trying to pick out a small municipal airport at distance, identify a water tower that is supposed to be your checkpoint, or track a highway that curves through a valley. In haze at 3 miles, the world compresses. And it gets worse as you descend toward lower terrain, because you're trading altitude for visibility angle. The Sierra advisory is not just a heads up. It is a specific signal that the on-route environment may not be what your VFR certificate is designed for. Now, how do you actually read one of these advisories in a briefing? Because the format matters. When you pull up an Air Met Sierra, whether through your electronic flight bag, 4Flight, Garmin Pilot, or a standard briefing on 1-800 Weather Brief, you're going to see a geographic boundary and a time window. The boundary is defined using geographic fixed points, sometimes navigation stations, sometimes airports. The time window tells you when it is valid. Here is the first practical point. Match that boundary to your route. Not just the origin, not just the destination. The entire route. I have seen students check the weather at both ends and declare they are good to go, without ever asking what is happening in the middle. The Air Met boundary might sit squarely across the hills you have to cross at hour 2 of a 3-hour flight. And speaking of hills, let's talk about mountain obscuration, because that section of Sierra deserves its own moment. Mountain obscuration is exactly what it sounds like. The terrain, specifically terrain that sticks up into higher elevations, is obscured by clouds, fog, or precipitation. But here is why it is particularly dangerous. The obscuration can be intermittent. You might have a clear view of a ridge for several miles, then a cloud bank rolls through and those ridges disappear. Unlike a flat terrain environment where a lower ceiling is annoying but manageable if you stay below it, mountainous terrain under obscured conditions can put rock in your flight path with almost no warning. The Rockies, the Cascades, the Appalachians during a frontal passage, even the lower ridges of the Ozarks in the right conditions. These are all environments where Sierra with mountain obscuration means something very specific. It means the instrument pilots in that corridor have the training and equipment to navigate it safely. You, as a VFR pilot, need to either plan above the layer, route around the system, or wait on the ground. So how do you use this in your actual go-no-go decision? Step 1. Look at the coverage language. AARMETs use terms like occasional and areas of because the advisory is not saying every single square mile of that region is below IFR minimums. It is saying that within that boundary, you will encounter these conditions in places, and you may not be able to predict exactly where that is actually worse in some ways than a solid overcast, because pockets of low visibility are harder to anticipate and route around than a clearly defined layer. Step 2. Cross-reference with pilot reports, what we call PIREPs. This is exactly the scenario where PIREPs earn their keep. If an AARMET Sierra is in effect and there are no PIREPs along your route, that tells you something. Either nobody is flying, which is itself a signal, or the reports are not making it into the system yet, which means conditions could be better or worse than the model suggests. If pilots are reporting good visual conditions along your route, that is useful context. It is not a guarantee. But current eyes on the sky data is a meaningful counterpoint to the advisory. Step 3. Check the time window against your estimated time en route. An AARMET that expires before you arrive matters differently than one that covers your entire flight window. Timing is everything with AARMETs. A Sierra that burns off by noon does not constrain an afternoon departure the same way it constrains an 8 in the morning departure. Step 4. And this is the one that requires honest self-assessment. Ask yourself what you will do if you encounter those conditions en route. That is the real question. Not is this a big deal, but what is my specific plan if the ceiling drops to 900 feet over those hills at hour 2? If the answer is I will turn around, that is actually a fine answer. But it requires that you have enough fuel, that the weather behind you is still open, and that you have a destination to turn back toward. That is why alternates matter on a cross country, even on a VFR flight, even when you're not legally required to file one. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. Planning alternates is not just an IFR habit. It is good airmanship at any certificate level on a cross country where Sierra is in the briefing. You should know before you depart where you're going to land if you cannot make it through. Not a vague idea, a specific airport, with fuel available and a number for the fixed base operator in case you need a car or a hotel. That is the plan. The Sierra advisory is your cue to make that plan before you ever start the engine. The airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate will ask you during your cross-country planning task to demonstrate that you understand weather services and can use them in your planning. The examiner is looking for more than I checked the weather. They want to see that you can interpret what the briefing is telling you, that you know what an AARMET means, and that you can explain how it factors into your decision. Being able to say there's a Sierra advisory covering the mid-road area, valid until 1800 Zulu, and here is how I weighed that against the rest of the picture is exactly what the standards are calling for. Let's walk through a quick scenario to make this concrete. You're planning a cross-country from a small field in the Midwest to a destination about 250 nautical miles northeast. Planned cruise altitude is 6,500. The destination is reporting a few clouds at 3,000, visibility 10 or better. Your departure field is clear below 12,000, visibility 15. Winds aloft show a light quartering tailwind, looks great. But the standard briefing includes an AARMET Sierra for your route area, covering portions of your mid-road segment, valid until 2000 Zulu. It mentions ceilings below 1,000 possible in scattered areas. The surface analysis shows a warm front draped across the region about 100 nautical miles north of your route, and there are no PIREPs along your route in the last 2 hours. What do you do? You do not depart and hope for the best. Here's what you do. You look at the forecast discussion from the National Weather Service. You look at the prog charts for the next 3 hours. You call flight service and specifically ask the briefer about conditions along the mid-road segment, not just the endpoints. You ask about the frontal boundary and how fast it is moving. If the data shows the front is accelerating toward your route, and the AARMET covers your mid-road segment, you seriously consider delaying until conditions clarify, or the front clears through. You do not go VFR into a frontal boundary hoping scattered means you will find the gaps. fronts are dynamic, the gaps close. If the data suggests the front is stalling well north of your route and a PI rep comes in from a pilot who just flew the segment reporting clear skies at 4,000, that is a different picture. You might go with a solid alternate plan and a specific turnaround point decided on the ground before departure. That is cross-country weather decision-making. It is not, is it blue at both ends? It is understanding what the atmosphere is doing along the entire route for the entire time window of your flight. A quick word on Tango and Zulu before we close, because they show up in your briefing too. AirMet Tango for turbulence is particularly relevant in mountainous areas and in convective environments. Moderate turbulence in a light single is not comfortable, and mechanical turbulence over rough terrain in the low-altitude environment where most student cross-countries happen can be significant. Tango is also issued for low-level wind shear below 2,000 feet, which matters most at the departure and arrival airports. Check your endpoints for Tango before assuming the takeoff and landing environments are benign just because the cruise altitude looks smooth. AirMet Zulu for icing is primarily an instrument pilot concern, but if you are flying a high-wing Cessna in cooler months and the freezing level is close to your planned altitude, Zulu tells you where the icing threat exists. Most training aircraft are not certified for flight into known icing. If Zulu is in the briefing and the freezing level is close, that is a constraint on your options, especially if you need altitude to cross terrain. The big picture point is this. Your standard briefing is designed to give you everything you need to make a safe decision. The AirMets are not fine print. They are specific, operationally meaningful advisories written by meteorologists who are looking at your flying environment and flagging real hazards. The fact that they are abbreviated and technical sounding does not make them less important. It means you have to know the language. Get comfortable reading the full text of an AirMet, not just the category header. Match the boundary to your route. Cross-reference with PI reps. Understand the time window. And always have a plan for the day. The forecast turns out to be wrong. Information for today's segment came from the Aviation Weather Center, the FAA Aeronautical Information Manual, and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards. You can find us at radiohanger.com/safeskies. I'll see you next time.